Hey, what's happening? Welcome back to the podcast. This is the Cycle Shack. I'm Ivan Rodriguez. I'm your host. I appreciate you listening. For everybody who's listening, thank the sponsors, Anchor.fm, Spotify, and I haven't done a podcast since September. 6 months, half a year. That sucks, man. I apologize. It's just life that happens. So anyway, just figured I'd jump on and say what's up to everybody. Let everybody know it's Tuesday night, 9 o'clock, March 12th, 2024. Had a great Christmas, had a great New Year, had a great Thanksgiving. Got through the January. What is it? It was January or February reveal of Harley Davidson and their new bikes. So first off, welcoming everybody again to the Cycle Shack podcast, the show that talks about, or the podcast that talks about motorcycles and more. It's not just about motorcycles, folks. So anyway, I went on to do the watch party that they had for Harley Davidson and the new reveals on the new bikes. While I do like the new bikes. The one thing I don't understand is apparently Harley's in some way, shape, or form is, I won't say dropping the dealer network, but they're doing something where they're cutting the dealers out of something, which I believe is first, I think they're making a limited supply for the dealer, and anything else available has got to get done through Harley, something like that. I don't know. I don't totally understand it myself, but I know it's pissing the dealers off. I did notice that, it's March already, so in March I already start buying all my lubricants, all the items I need to tune up the bikes, and I already did my wife's bike. I think all I got to do is her spark plugs and wash it down. Other than that, did a full visual on it, changed her oils, did the whole three-hole oil change, and went synthetic on the tranny, but I'm keeping the primaries on a natural lubricant, the regular Harley primary fluid oil, only because the clutch, you want it to be natural. You don't want synthetic in the clutch, but anyway, that's my personal view. But I did switch to AMS oil. AMSOIL 2050 in the engine, and AMSOIL, I think it's 7140 severe gear in the tranny. I got great results from severe gear. I put it in my bike again for a second time last year, and I switched my wife's bike to severe gear, and she loved it. Just a better running fluid for the bike overall, and I found I got better results. The bike ran cooler, and it performed better. So, yeah, I stuck with it. Same thing with the AMSOIL in the engine. The bike ran a heck of a lot cooler. I have a 103, a twin cam 103. I have a 26. My wife, 2016. My wife has a 2021, which is a Milwaukee 8, which runs a lot hotter. So it did cool the bike down significantly. But anyway, getting back to my point. When I went to Harley to go pick up, some the spark plugs and all that stuff, the fuel, oil filters, etc., what I did notice at two Harley Davidson dealerships, and I'm seeing it all around, even on YouTube, Harley is not stocking their dealers with too many new bikes, and there are a lot of leftover 2023 bikes that are more expensive than the 2024 bikes that came out. The 2024 bikes, Harley lowered the prices on them. So the dealerships, even with the markups, it's still significantly lower than the used bikes that they have, like the 2023s. So that's crazy. You can get a brand new Harley for a lot less now than you could for a leftover 2023. And the 2024s are coming out with a lot more bang for your buck than the 2023s. So it was interesting to see that. I know the dealership by me that I would normally go to doesn't seem like they're doing great. I didn't get too involved in it. Got a lot of new staff. got a weird vibe in there. It's not the same. Doesn't feel like the same friendly staff. Didn't see the friendly faces that I once knew. All new mechanics, all new shop guys, all new guy running the service department. So I didn't feel that normal welcome that I would normally get at the local Harley dealer. Let's put it that way. So I told my wife I'm switching dealerships. I'm going to a dealership that's a bit further away. But every time I go to that dealership, they stock everything. Every single thing you ask for, these people always have in stock. So it's a bit bigger. It's a bit bigger of a dealership. But they always have what you need. And they're always throwing parties outside. And we go at least twice a season to that dealership to hang out and party. But, yeah, it's an interesting year for Harleys, man. And not looking myself to buy a new bike. I'll stick to my 2016. Just keep her in good shape, man, and keep it running. My wife's got her 21 Sport Glide and her 17 Sportster Iron, which she's still keeping there. We got the tires we're going to put on it. We got the oils we're going to put on it as well. So we're going to take care of that. So moving on from the bike scene, yeah, man, I'm just glad that it's a new bike season. 2024 is starting to open up, starting to see the bikes out there. Now, I saw some bikes out there today. It was a nice day today. It was about 63 degrees, but it was a cool 63, windy, cool 63. And sat in the back porch for a little bit, and I heard the rumble of the bikes going by. And I think maybe about 2 weeks ago, we got a nice weekend where it was almost 70 the entire weekend. So got to see some bikes. Now, I didn't take my bikes out because I unfortunately store my bikes. I winterize them and I store them. Now, while I don't have a garage, they're not sitting under the bad weather. I keep them in covers and then I keep them inside tents. I have one of those like tractor supply tent sheds where it's a steel tube framing and you got the tarping that's the roof and the walls, etc. So it's in the cold, but it's not experiencing the elements, right? It's not getting snow and rain beating on it. And I keep a cord out there, power cord. I keep some battery tenders and everything's, you know, dry. But for the most part, it's not warm. So I got to winterize my bikes fully. And then leave them. I don't turn them on. I don't nothing because, you know, when your bike's out in the cold, you don't want to turn it on, expose it to moisture, etc. Especially if you're not going to put a heavy load on it. But anyway. So that weekend, I was itching to ride, but I wasn't going to start the bike and break it out of the winterization cycle to, you know. Plus, I pulled the insurance. We scaled down on the insurance. We keep theft and we keep theft, fire on it. You know, so basically we make it so that it's insured, but it's pulled off the road. But anyway, yeah, there was that weekend when it was 70 degrees the whole weekend. Saw a lot of people on their bikes. I got to get myself a second bike for that same reason. My wife's got two bikes. But I got to get myself a second bike just for that same reason. And I got a bagger. Might as well get me like a, I don't know, Fat Boy or a Fat Boy or a Dyna. You know, a good little go around town bike. Yeah, eventually. So, a lot of interesting things happened, man. Got sick real bad over the winter. I caught a walking pneumonia early in the season. Then after the walking pneumonia, it just, you know, when you're getting older, your body just changes. I'm used to being, you know, in my mind, I'm still 20-something years old where I never gave a shit. You know, walked around, you know, ran outside with, you know, T-shirt on in the middle of winter. Can't do that now. I was always hot. I was always like a bear. Everywhere I went, my wife would test me. She goes, "Oh, my God, you're so warm. It's freezing in here." And I'm like, yeah, well, I was always real hot-blooded. Now I'm shivering. I'm shivering right now doing this podcast. Fired everything up in the studio here. The studio, I had to clean up the spider webs in here because I haven't been in the studio for like 6 months. Got a little studio in the house that You know, I'm set up to do either an internet show, a radio show, podcast, whatever have it. I'm all wired up down here. Got an antenna. I got internet if I do that, choose to do that. But anyway, haven't been down here in a while and fired everything up, and there's still a chill down here. So, but again, it was an interesting winter. You know, we still got that war in the Ukraine going on, which is pissing me off because Biden just got approved to, what, 380 million or billion or something like that to go overseas, you know, for the war effort. But the second he did that, it's now a month later after he signed that bill and sent it, and or they agreed to the bill and they sent them the money. Now, oh, yeah, our taxes, your taxes are not going to be raised. Yeah, but the prices of our goods have severely went up. Yep. Did you guys notice how expensive it was during Christmas shopping this year? Did you guys notice not much sales? Not too many Black Friday sales. I mean, there were, but they weren't really Black Friday sales. Everything jumped significantly, and it started with food. To get a decent steak, it's like $40 now. As opposed to the 20 it was. Yeah, for a little decent steak, a little piece of steak, you know. I like treating myself to a steak or two, a ribeye or two on the grill. You know, $25, 30 the tops. Now you can't get anything under 40, 45. And if you want a good steak, nice thick inch steak, two of them, you're paying $55, $60. You know, a standard brisket, you're going to pay almost $100 for. It's ridiculous. It's unheard of. Candy bars, normally $1. It's $2.50. You know, it's unbelievable the way we're paying for shit through the roof. All the goods, clothing, food, products, everything. But our taxes didn't go up. No, they just raised the prices on everything. They got to get recoup their money some way, somehow. I can't believe that money was sent overseas. I mean, I feel for them and everything, but we got so many people here that need help, you know, not just in New York slums or city slums. There's poverty everywhere in the country, you know. Tennessee, Milwaukee, Pennsylvania, Texas, wherever you go. It's not just inner cities. There's poverty everywhere. And all, our American citizens need help. But we take that money, we dump it overseas, and then we raise the price of everything. And say, hey, but we're not going to raise taxes next year, but you're going to raise the shit out of all the products. Fuel's going to wind up going up this summer. You'll see. Guarantee you. I guarantee you. But off of that subject, had a real nice time this evening. Had a nice dinner. After dinner, went the living room with my son. My second youngest and my middle son both watching contact sports, fight sports rather. So they're into the UFC, they're into the bare knuckle fighting, and boxing. So my son was watching boxing today, and what started that theme out was, and I know I'm going to go into a rant about this one. What started it was that I was working. I work from home, doing some work. Son got home from school. I'm wrapping some things up. And he started watching YouTube, and he was watching highlights of what people are saying about the Jake Paul Mike Tyson bout that's supposed to happen sometime in July. That's right. 58-year-old Mike Tyson is going to fight against the, 28-year-old Jake Paul. YouTube, if you want to call it, celebrity. Now, that's a 30-something-year difference. This guy's saying, Jake Paul, that he wants to be taken seriously. He wants to be known for fighting real fighters. And he wants to be known and respected for that. So you're going to turn around and you're going to fight, I'm not going to say a washed up Mike Tyson, because I don't think Mike Tyson's washed up. But Mike Tyson is, let's face the reality, 58 years old. Now, I'm Team Tyson. I don't give two shits. I hope Tyson blows his head off. We know he's not, but he still has power and some speed, even at 58. So I told my son, hey, throw on the Tyson fight when he fought Roy Jones Jr. You know, they had an exhibition bout. I think it was an 8-round exhibition bout. Mike Tyson against Roy Jones Jr. And let me tell you, Roy Jones felt some pain. Roy Jones was juking, jiving, and running. And Mike Tyson was taking it real serious, although he wasn't the old Mike Tyson making the crazy mistakes. You know, he wasn't losing his head. He was focused. But anyway, just spearing off of that, yeah, I just find it disgusting that kid would want to, you know, 28-year-old wants to fight a 58-year-old Mike Tyson. And God bless Mike Tyson for saying, yeah, you know what, let's do it. But you know what? The guy's got experience. He's been in battles in the ring. He can take it, even at 58. I'm not saying Jake Paul can't, but Jake Paul is running his mouth like, yeah, I've seen Tyson fight. I've seen him in his heyday. Very powerful puncher, but you know what? He's 50-something. I'm whatever. And really? You're proud of that? You're really proud of that? And you want to be a respected fighter. So how about doing what any other fighter in his bright mind would think about doing? Going into the WBF or whatever boxing, federation they call it? Whatever boxing company. And hey, here I am, Jake Paul. I want to fight as a cruiserweight. I want to start from the bottom up. And that's it. Work your way up the ranks to a championship. That's how you earn your respect in the world of boxing, in the world of fighting. But to turn around and have all these BS fights, that they're not, you know, I mean, come on. Who'd you really fight? You know, you're taking retired MMA fighters that were good strikers and you're putting boxing gloves on them and you're beating them. Come on, give me a break, man. Give me a break. Really? Fight a fighter of your equal caliber in today's boxing world. And that won't be such a nice fight. But anyway, you'd have a lot more respect given to you if you went in and said, hey, I want to come up the ranks. If I make it to a world championship, I make it to a world championship, great. But I think I've got what it takes. And you do it. And that's when you turn around, they'll turn around and say, hey, you know what? Jake Paul went from a YouTube guy to taking it serious, and boom. This ain't taking it serious. If all you're going to fight is people who are retired and have been retired, MMA guys who were decent strikers are retired from MMA and want to throw the boxing gloves on? That's what you considered getting respect? Come on, dude. Anyway, my son gets home and started watching those highlights. We started talking about it. I told him I was Team Tyson all the way. He is also. But he's young. He likes all that YouTube stuff and he's into it. And I said, you know what? Put on Mike Tyson, Roy Jones from 2020. Exhibition fight that they had. And man, Tyson was great. I think Mike Tyson was 54 years old at the time. He's 58 now. While I don't think he's going to be as fast, they do have training videos of him. And he is pretty fast. He is throwing power punches. Actually heard that during that Roy training for that Roy Jones exhibition fight, he was his corner guy who was helping his trainers train him with the pads on. Tyson was hitting him so hard, the guy had to get shoulder surgery after that camp because Tyson destroyed his shoulder from the blows that he took from Tyson throwing him, even with the pads on, to help, you know, warm Tyson up. That's crazy. That means that man still has that freakish power. We know he's got the skill. He may not be as fast, but he still has the skill. That's for sure. And, but anyway, we started watching old Mike Tyson fights, just the highlights, you know, the knockout highlights. My son was very impressed, loved it. So again, I enjoy sitting down and enjoy talking about it with him and just, you know, sharing that moment, just the little bonding. That's what seems to bring us together the most. Not saying we have a bad relationship. We don't. I have a good relationship with all my boys. But just my son, I noticed, likes putting on the fight, sitting down. I'll grab a cup of coffee. We'll sit down. We'll talk, and we can relate. We put the volume up, and we watch it, and we talk. After the highlight reels, I told him, you want to see some real good fighting? Yeah. So I got three fights for you that were the best fights that I've ever seen in my life watching boxing, in my genre of boxing. And I was born in 76. So I went through the 80s. And for me, Tyson was the great, right? But I want to say my older years, which were about 20 years ago. I got three fights for you. What are they? They called them World War I, World War II, and World War III. Arturo Thunder Gatti versus Irish Mickey Ward. It's like, really? All right. Searched it on YouTube. They had them lined up. Gatti Ward 1, Gatti Ward 2, Gatti Ward 3. We started with 1, obviously. And as soon as the bell rang, he loved it. And I watched those fights with him in their entireties. Man. That was some beautiful boxing, some beautiful skill. Both men complimented each other in that ring. It was just awesome to rewatch that again. That's like the third or fourth time I've seen that, but I haven't seen it in a while. And to watch it again, I was excited, man. And my son, you saw the excitement in his face, like, wow, this is great. And it was. It was really awesome. It was just great to sit there and enjoy it with him, and we just finished watching it. He put on some other Arturo Gatti highlight fights. Mentioned to him how sadly and tragically Arturo Gatti passed, how him and Mickey Ward, after those three fights, became the best of friends. Mickey Ward even went on to, I think Gatti went on to fight six or seven more fights, and I think in his last couple of fights, Mickey Ward was actually in his corner. At ringside in this corner, helping him out. And unfortunately, Gatti was tragically murdered. And yeah, so just some awesome watch. You know, we stopped watching a lot of TV nowadays. It kind of sucks because I call YouTube, you know, social media, but YouTube can be very informative, you know. A lot of stuff. I call it, you know what? YouTube is like my encyclopedia. Anytime I want to research something or find out some stuff, I YouTube it. You know what I mean? And usually you find a lot of factual items or things that make you look for other resources, you know, to research something. But for the most part, it is social media if you look at it, right? It's the interweb, internet. What's sad is the way everybody's so focused on social media, and you believe half of the stuff that's on social media. You can't believe, because it's become the, I look at social media today what the National Enquirer and the Star used to be. Remember those two newspapers? There was your regular papers, right? You had the Daily News, the Times Herald, the New York Post. I'm from New York, so you got New York Post. Then you had the Star or the Enquirer, which were the bullshit papers, right? The gossip papers, the fake stuff, fake news. That's literally what it was, you know, because at the time, the papers pretty much posted what was. It's today that you got all that non-fact-checking BS. But anyway, that's what Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and all that stuff is. You know, you find a lot of useful stuff, but most of it is just BS. You know, I heard something on the radio this morning that it gets crazy with the speculations, but you know, it's these companies like Facebook, they come up with ways to draw in our youth, and they don't come up with ways to draw in the youth. purposefully to turn them into deadheads. They're in the market of having media content for you to watch. So they look for ways to steal the attention of their demographic that's paying attention to their content. There's no conspiracy theory. It's just a shame on that our youth is glued to that and they believe all the bullshit they see on social media, because not all of it is credible stuff, obviously. So, you know, once I see that once, you know, within the last 5 to 7 years, when the kids do get a little older and they wise up, they tend to stray away from it more. So, yeah. So because social media sees that, they try to drum up more stuff to just draw the crowds back, you know. But it's not purposefully to make the kid a deadhead. It's just what today's kids do, you know. But, yeah, that stuff's come a long way. You know, what is sad is, in general, cell phones. Because your cell phone has become, you know, let's face it, it's replaced your PC. Not a lot of people have PCs these days, and when they do, they're gaming or doing some other stuff. But for the most part, everything's either a laptop or a cell phone or an iPad or some kind of tablet, you know, which is okay. But, you know, I know it's a cliche statement nowadays, but you hear it and see it all the time. You go to your local restaurant and you see couples sitting there face to face, but instead of having a conversation, they got their phones in their hand. They're looking at the interweb, or they're reading the text messages, or looking at the Facebook, or looking at TikTok. And don't get me wrong, I'm not looking at it all as a negative, because sometimes they're sharing stuff and say, oh, look at this, and they're laughing it up. But I don't know. I look at that time, and again, it's very cliche. I look at that time as you go to dinner with somebody, your wife. Oh, if a woman's going to dinner with her husband, the last thing you want is a cell phone. Now, you want a, you know, intimate conversation, or just conversation in general. Good old-fashioned talking, right? But anyway, that's all I got for you guys. I just wanted to jump on and shoot the shit a little bit. I'll be jumping on a little bit more as we go through our little ride adventures just to BS. And as things come up, you know, again, this is about motorcycles and more. It ain't all about motorcycle content, but we'll talk about it. Thanks for listening. I'm Ivan Rodriguez. Check it out at thecycleshackpodcast@gmail.com for anything you got for me, any questions, comments, and check me out on Facebook at The Cycle Shack Podcast. Hey, you know what? I just wanted to mention also that I picked up a little hobby over the winter, too, that was kind of entertaining, and I'm about to go do it right now. I actually have my torch in front of me. I started smoking cigars again. Man. Awesome experience, but I'll leave that for the next time. So take care, keep them two wheels down, and we'll talk real soon. Appreciate you listening. Thanks for downloading. Take care.